your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuels, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hoof, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
September 6th. Bless us all for making it this far. Over the past months, I've had several folks ask me where the show's opening comments have gone. Honestly, I've just chosen not to share some things. I lost a close friend, and that could take the energy out of you. And that's kind of how I felt. Unenergetic. But I've decided to lift my head and return to the world, watch where I'm going and see what's happening around me. And while looking around this week, I've seen and heard some pretty funky stuff. I have a friend whose employer is having an employee appreciation week, except the main event party can't be attended by half of the employees due to their work schedules. It's quite thoughtful, but without much forethought. And what am I gonna do about UVA sports? I'd like the teams to win, but regardless, will someone please fire the athletic department starting at the top? Too many just don't care about the fans unless you have at least five-digit donations with your name. I refuse to buy football tickets this year, so I support the team from home, wearing my orange t-shirt and listening on the radio, learning about empty seats at the stadium, and hearing all the blame fall on the coaches and players. Just not fair to them. There's a local ruling of not allowing schools' children to see a live speech by the president because he might say things bothersome to some Republican parents. Partisanship is destroying our country. You may feel our president is making incorrect decisions, but your children cannot listen to a speech by the president of the United States until it's been approved by some who disagree with him? This is the exact behavior taking place in countries we as Americans are known for mocking or shouting down, sending convoys or even troops to prevent. Partisanship has brought us here. Thank you for your contribution. And finally, there's the conversation about potential health care reform. Why are those who regularly announce the need for greater moral strength in our country not showing their interest in helping others? Shouting out claims of socialism or calling someone a Nazi will not save your family member or friend who must choose between a mortgage payment, next week's groceries, and a trip to the doctor. Moral conduct is defined by the distinction between right and wrong. Religions say it is right to put others and their health before yourself and your money. Choosing otherwise is wrong and therefore immoral by any religious standard, unless you're a Nazi. And please remember that WNRN and the station's underwriters do not necessarily agree with my thoughts or comments. So here we are on Labor Day weekend, the first Sunday in September. Shouting it out. A big shout out to Harrisonburg's 95.1. They often don't get enough notice here at WNRN. And also, let me give a shout out to Solar Advantage for helping us be here today. You can find them installing high-tech Velux solar hot water systems in Central Virginia. Solar Advantage invites you to visit their website to find out about local, state, and federal tax incentives being offered right now. The website is solaradvantageva.com. All right, we have a special guest in the studio today, someone who's often at the station and can even be found walking through throughout, giving us calls as to what to do next or what to do right or wrong, but only once every 2 years or so on this particular program. station manager Mike Friend. Mike!
Been 2 years? Damn.
Well, for some of us, it seems even closer to that. But yeah. I do believe it's been 2 years.
I'm special, huh?
Because you're here in front of me. Yes, you're special. Thank you for coming in on your, because even station managers get holiday weekends. So thanks for devoting
some stations, that's true. Not necessarily
at WNRN. We are going to talk about radio, economic media in general, and some current events that have been involved in that. Recession impacts, court decisions on indecency. And then some special things just devoted to WNRN. So stay tuned. The phone lines are open. Sean McCord back in action after himself taking a summer off, or much of a summer off, to help us out today. He'll be answering the phones 979-0919. If you're in Harrisonburg, listening on the 95.1 or one of the other stations that needs the toll-free number, that's 1-877-WNRN-ROCK. So Mike Friend here, WNRN station manager, as we talk about radio and media in general and some of the topics that are going with that. Mike, let's talk about something that I think many listeners, because they're listening to WNRN, would be especially interested in, and that is about the recession and the impacts on the media. But let's, before we expand that, let's talk about how the recession has impacted WNRN.
Well, not as much, I should say, as some other radio stations. We are not as dependent upon car dealers as a lot of radio stations are, especially some stations maybe in some of our smaller markets. It's just a lot of people. Well, I don't know. I suppose if you really pay attention to to the spots that you hear on, maybe your radio station, your local station in Lexington or some station in Harrisonburg or Stanton, just how many of them are car dealers. And they have had, obviously, up until the cash for clunkers thing a few weeks ago, and they've actually started to place some more buys, have had no money to spend. And some stations, you read the horror stories in some of the trade press of stations that are developing 30, 40, 50, sometimes over 50% of their income from car dealers, and all of a sudden all of your towns or your area, your county's car dealers are simply buying no more advertising, then, you have a problem. It's a simple problem, but a bad problem, and that is no money to pay employees and to provide.
But still, the economy has not affected just the car dealer. It affects everybody's personal wallet or purse.
Well, yeah.
And I mean, WNRN is 50% dependent on
our underwriters. And
well, even if the underwriters aren't mainly car dealers,
right,
but they are 50% dependent on the person and the home.
Yeah. Okay. Other people are spending less too. Yeah. We, just like everyone else, in the radio business and television and print, have been making less money from selling underwriting, either because, people are saying they need a deal or they won't stay, or they simply haven't said that and they're just getting behind on bills. And I talk to other people in media around town and TV, and it's the same problem. Whenever you have a recession, you have, deflationary influences, and that means that people want more for their buck. And, advertising is something that you can cut out before you can cut out, say, the electric bill or paying your employees or health insurance or,
Has the income for WNRN, I think it's sort of it's mentioned as a 50-50, 50% from the businesses, 50% from
listeners.
The individual, the listeners.
Our last fund drive did very well. The income from underwriting is down and substantially, and that's something a lot of public radio stations and on the commercial side, a lot of commercial stations are dealing with commercials. People who are maybe listening to this program are more news and information oriented than people listen to the rest of the radio station, but they may have noticed WVTF and Radio IQ in the middle of July, I believe, popped up with an emergency fund drive. They've never done one then before. They do one in the spring and one in the fall, roughly the same times we do, usually right afterwards. And that drive was somewhat successful. It kind of saved their butts a little bit in the middle of the summer because they have had the same problems.
Fiscal needs as the budget was being planned or finishing up.
They're more state dependent, and there was some question as to their state funding. Some of that was worked out. They didn't get as much as, nobody ever gets as much as they want, but there were some cuts around the edges, and public TV was affected. The local public TV station had to close the Charlottesville office and let a couple of employees go, and they did some of that down at the headquarters in Richmond, too.
For a lot of people, for many newer listeners, as Charlottesville always has a regular turnover in the summer. I think people associate WNRN with the university or because we are community radio with the state, and are often surprised to find out that WNRN doesn't get any, state funding or university funding.
We don't get any state or university funding. There is another station around here that does. They haven't really seen any cuts because they don't really spend that much money, and their budgets are set years in advance.
Well, what does WNRN spend? And I guess I'm not asking you to give away any secrets, but if the income is being pushed to keep it at the
total budget around here is less than $300,000 a year.
But if the effort is to keep the money at least the same, as for many people, the income is going down, and the effort to keep the underwriting, if the underwriting is down, if the economy and the economic concerns for the individual listeners are also stronger to maybe tighten up my philanthropy, is NRN doing the same things that they've done in the past? Has WNRN been forced to trim their expenses to match the income?
We're trying to trim some. We've had opportunities to do some trimming, and are going to continue to do that.
Are those things like that the listeners would note?
I don't know. Don't think so. I mean, we're trying not to, cut back on quality or sell equipment that we need and buy cheaper stuff or anything like that. I mean, to a certain extent, this recession has not lasted that long so far. We're talking, about a year? Although I think it started well before that. I think if you talk to a lot of business people, an economist would tell you. And I was noticing a lot of softness last year, before the official, before Lehman Brothers and everybody.
Right. I mean, last September is when the major multiple crashes began.
And even before that. So, I mean, this is still relatively young as a recession, and we have some money in the bank, and if this does not last 2, 3, 4 years, we'll still be here. We'll be all right. I've seen some things pick up here in the last couple of weeks, but as you alluded to before, things, when students get back, everybody breathes a sigh of relief, and I notice people usually catch up on their bills in September. It's sort of like the coming of June, a Memorial Day at like a beach community. And I used to live in one of those too, and winters were always kind of bleak.
It is WNRN's Sunday morning wake-up call, 11:14, here as we talk with Mike Friend, who's the WNRN station manager. We'll expand a little bit beyond just WNRN. We're going to talk about radio as a business, a whole media. We're going to be talking about other media and several topics that you might have heard about in the news. The digital transmissions, the fairness doctrine, recent court decisions on indecency. And Mike, let's jump to that. The fairness doctrine.
This is something that existed before the up until the 1980s, where broadcast licensees were required to make sure there was a balance of opinion on the air on their radio station. So, I mean, I don't know how much explanation that needs.
Based on each station?
Yeah, based on each station.
So if I'm whining about how I think the health, mm-hmm. Moral issue, do you need somebody on here to talk about how I'm full of myself?
Yeah, well, basically that's what that would mean. And it's one of these topics that, Rush Limbaugh and the right-wing crazies won't let go of, because they, of course, work the whole reinstitution of the fairness doctrine into their paranoid view of the world that Obama and the federal government and the socialists in Washington are coming to get them, and they're going to do it with the fairness doctrine. Now, there is no support for the fairness doctrine in Washington on Capitol Hill. The Republicans are all with their leader, Rush Limbaugh, and the Democrats mostly don't like it either. So, but they continue. I have heard it within the last 72 hours, okay, on a right-wing talk show on AM radio in Charlottesville about the fairness doctrine coming back, and, they're going to use it to stifle dissent and everything. Not going to happen, okay? Not going to happen. But they continue to trot it out there because it's part of the paranoid delusion.
Why won't it happen?
Well,
I mean, because it always seems like...
That's a good question. I mean, I don't necessarily have a problem with it myself, but I'm just saying it isn't going to happen. Some of the more rational people who have a problem with the fairness doctrine will tell you, well, it isn't needed anymore. And if you're talking about the Washington, D.C. market or even the Charlottesville market, there's a number of radio stations around here. You know, you can ride around Charlottesville and you can listen to, Rachel Maddow and Anna Marie Cox on Air America, or you can listen to Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or any of these other, the right-wing people. So there is, I know you asked about any particular station, okay? Well, with stations as a whole, there is balance on the radio airwaves. And you've got, some real journalism, on NPR, and then you've got the right-wing people and the left-wing people. You even have some local talkers around here. When you get into some very small markets, however, that's where I think it might be a good idea to look at that again or something like it, because you can go to a small town in Kentucky or someplace out in the Midwest, and you can get maybe one or two AM radio stations from your community, and it's a steady dose of the exact same thing, and there is no dissenting voice. There is no voice from the center. There is no voice from the left. It is nothing but right-wing talk. And the idea behind the fairness doctrine, when it got when they instituted it in the 1930s or 40s, I think it was the 1930s actually, was they thought, because at that time there were very few stations. There were like 1,200 radio stations in this country, or even fewer than that, prior to World War II. Now there's like 12,000, okay? And they thought that things would gravitate towards the dramatic and either ends of the spectrum. And at the time, I remember reading about it, there were people in Washington who thought that there would be socialists and communists, who would take over radio stations. I mean, this was part of the delusion, and you would have, the opportunity to indoctrinate coming from the left, and that never happened. And, and nobody ever told radio stations that they couldn't have opinionated people on the air. It was just that, okay, well, if you're going to have, who was one of the famous right-wing figures from back then, Dr. Brinkley, I think, in the 1930s, well, that was fine. You could have him on the air for a couple of, then you had to have somebody from the left. Okay, well, that was reasonable. And there are other ways of accomplishing the same thing as the fairness doctrine might do. And In Canada and Britain and some other places, I don't think they have anything. They certainly don't have anything called the fairness doctrine. If they do, they don't call it that. But they do have a tendency in some other countries to enforce some variation on a rule that prohibits the willful broadcast of false information. So you would not have, for instance, you know, somebody going on for hours on one of these right-wing talk shows about whether President Obama is an American citizen or not. Okay. You could, you still might have a debate about, you know, his plans and his philosophies and what he wants to do, but you would not be able to have a debate about a fact. You see what I'm saying?
I do, and hopefully those listening do as well. Mike Friend, WNRN station manager here in the studio today, 11:21 on the wake-up call. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly cloudy today, highs 75 to 80, just the upper 70s in the valley. Mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers tonight, lows 65 to 70, even cooler in Lynchburg and Richmond. And then on Labor Day, mostly cloudy with some evening showers. Tomorrow, highs 75 to 80. Right now, it's pretty nice around the listening area. 71 and clear in the valley. Clouds and 72 in Lynchburg, 82 in Richmond, 70 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And support from NRN today coming from Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, specializing in Gore-Tex outdoor footwear from Merrell, the North Face, as well as guaranteed fitting. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville. Find them at Wintergreen and in Richmond at the Chesterfield Town Center and on West Broad Street online, brms.com. Give us a call, ask your question, make your comment, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS is toll-free. From a little further out, Mike Friend, the WNRN station manager, here to talk about radio and media. Mike, quick question. We were talking about recession impacts on the media. Mm-hmm. Has the large media purchasing, the large group, and I can't think of what's the name of the conglomerate that purchased many of the radio stations here in our area?
Oh, Saga Broadcasting.
Something Channel. Clear Channel.
Clear Channel actually sold out of Charlottesville
large,
to another company.
Has that
actually.
Large media purchasing continued?
No, it's dropped off substantially. Clear Channel sold a lot of its properties. They sold to an outfit in Florida all of their Charlottesville properties, which is now owned by something called Monticello Media, which is incorporated in Virginia. I don't know what the excuse me, I forget the name of, you know, what the name of the company is. It's in Florida, but unlike Saga, which is the other outfit headquartered in Michigan that owns 3WV and WINA and Z95 in the corner.
The old Red Your Family.
The old Your stations. They're not in, I don't believe they're incorporated here. They just, you know, it's just their company in Michigan. And
so is that,
but there has been a lot less of that. But these big companies are close to bankruptcy. I mean, they have had, Saga has had, you know, a couple rounds of layoffs and pay cuts, and Clear Channel has had the same thing. They've laid off, over 2,000 employees in two or three rounds of cuts. And they have sold off about a third of their stations because, as some people suggested early on, it is just really difficult to run that many radio stations and do it right. And there are some economies of scale which, for one reason or another, they chose not to use because they were vulnerable to the argument of localism, and they were afraid of some government regulation.
Yeah, but is that good or bad?
Localism.
Are they going to close down? For
the companies or for listeners?
Are they going to close down the stations because of the economic issue, or are they going to sell them to a much local group?
Well, they have what Clear Channel has been doing is pretty clear. They've been selling. To my knowledge, they haven't.
But you just said Monticello Media is not really a local group.
They're not.
We're just distributing the. We're just getting
Right.
More medium-sized conglomerates rather than one gigantic one.
Yeah, compared to some others, they're pretty small. I mean, compared to Saga, which is the other big group here, which is the seventh or eighth largest in the country, Modest Shelf Media is not even close. But Clear Channel is still the biggest, and they have sold I was reading a couple of days ago, they have donated some of their stations, too. They find churches and nonprofits to give some of their really horrible AM signals to. And there are people dumb enough to take them. it's really tough. They were in an environment for a long time, and they're not the only people. There's people in other businesses that got in the same situation who paid way too much for things when it looked like the economy was nothing but up, up, up. And they came into town, and the frequency 107.5, which is now Tom, was purchased from a local guy who was actually a next door neighbor of one of our board members, and he bought the thing for not very much and sold the thing for $6 million and was down the road with his money. It's going to be a long time before, well, Clear Channel got out of here. They never obviously saw any fraction of their $6 million back on that. But at the time, it seemed like this was a reasonable thing to do.
Here's a question that's come in. Talk about WNRN and the religious station north of town.
Oh, people still haven't forgotten about that. Well, we haven't either.
Well, you said religion, or religious station, so that might have prompted that.
Well, it's still there and is. I don't want to say but so much about it because it's pending legal.
WNRN is in a court? Or?
No, we're not yet, but we were talking to our attorney. We were advised several years ago, as long as the current administration, or the administration that was then current in Washington, I should say,
so the Bush group
was in place, you're not going to do anything about right-wing, religion in Washington, D.C. All of their friends and protectors who allowed them to get away with what they got away with are not there anymore.
And let's stop for a second. Because
that's as far as we're going to go with that.
Well, obviously the person who asked the question is familiar with the topic, but hopefully I'm not overspeaking what can be said about it if it's pending legal. But there was, for people on the northern, outreach of WNRN, and I believe it goes sort of in Orange County and towards Culpeper, et cetera.
Depends where you are. If it makes it difficult driving around in a car if you're somewhere between Madison and Culpeper.
But you'd lose WNRN, and what you hear is a religious station somewhere
from Washington D.C. And again, the facts are not disputable. They had a construction permit which ran out. And the law is very clear. If you don't build within 3 years, this was not an FCC rule. This was a law passed by Congress to prevent abuses, which people were warehousing construction permits sometimes for as much as 20 years. And Congress passed a law to prevent that and said, when you get a construction permit, you get 3 years to build it. You don't build it, the word is forfeit. Well, 3 years came and went. The station did not build their construction permit. And a month and 4 days after their permit ran out, they built it. Seems open and shut, black and white, doesn't it? But if you have friends in right-wing senators and congressmen's office who can call up and make threats to government regulators, then you can get away with anything you want. And there wasn't anything that without a huge amount of we don't have a huge amount of money here, like we were talking about earlier. There wasn't anything that we were going to do about it in the environment that existed prior to January 21st, 2009. That's changed. We'll see whether anything else can be made to change because of it.
All right, 11:30 on the wake-up call with Mike Fran, the station manager here at WNRN, as we talk about media. And some specifics about radio. Sean McCord's out there. If you have a question of your own that you'd like to ask, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. And online, WNRN-Studio will pop up an instant message here next to me to read.
I am us, yes.
Let me give a thanks to Sugar Snap Consignment for their support. You can find them in York Place downtown. They accept and offer some gently used baby and kids items, outerwear, shoes, hats, crib bedding, various maternity and nursing clothes, as well as cloth diapers, diaper bags, and other nursery gear. Kid-friendly play area available while you shop. You can become a fan of Sugar Snap on Facebook or Twitter. And more info online, sugarsnapconsignment.com. Mike, one of the bigger issues in the first half of 2009, digital television transmission.
Transition.
Transition. Well, transmission in the beginning, right? And then they switched from how it was going to be transmitted.
Well, yeah, we went from analog to television transmission that we had since the mid-1940s, and they transitioned to digital, which is a completely different format, which you realize if you still have an analog TV set. And
why switch?
I don't listen to anything
on it. What is the transition? What was the meaning behind even having the transition?
The new standard looks much better. They were able to sell it to TV broadcasters because they'd be able to have three channels in place of their current one.
How does that even work? If you only have one channel, how can you suddenly have three?
Well, I mean, you know, what's the definition of a channel? Okay. Television channels are have historically been 6 megahertz wide. If you put that in the language of, say, an FM radio that I guess anybody who's listening to is not online right now is listening to, that would be a broadcaster having the right to transmit between the frequencies of 92 and 98. Okay, for TV, for Channel 6, for example, it was 82 to 88, which is why you could hear their audio on the left end of the dial if you were in some parts of our listening area. And with analog transmission, it was very spectrum hoggy. The TV stations were spectrum hogs. To broadcast what they call the NTSC television signal, you needed a lot of space. With digital, it's much, much less than that. And within an allotted bandwidth, you can put a lot more information. I mean, that's sort of what digital is all about, just like digital transmission of anything from email to, you know, streaming video on your computer. If you can compress a lot of information into digital data, it's much more efficient. And they decided at the same time to fix the aspect ratio, which of course had been way different for television than it was for motion pictures. The motion picture screen that you watch when you go to the Carmike or Regal is a 16:9 screen. The TV you were watching at home until you went out and bought a new digital TV set was 4:3, which means if you wanted to watch a movie, you either watched it very small with the stripe at the top and the bottom of the screen, or you missed the left and the right sides. Or you had it, you know, distorted in such a way to fill up.
That's why
it was just crappy. So they decided
a lot of the discs had both sides for you to determine how you wanted to watch.
Exactly. So they were able to fix that. The resolution, although most people never really saw NTSC taken to its maximum resolution. Which looked very, very good. The digital systems are quite a bit more have quite a bit more resolution in the real world for the kind of receivers that are out there. The sound, you can do surround sound and other audio enhancements, different languages broadcast simultaneously. Although they had come up with a standard for that for analog TV, too, in the last 15 or 20 years.
11:35 on the wake-up call. Mike Friend, station manager here, talking about the radio and media in general. Mike, here's a question online. Didn't moving the date cost TV stations a lot of extra money? And why was moving the date even done?
Well, there was a feeling out there that there were still people who were not ready, who did not have the converter boxes, who did not have digital TVs and that people would be cut off. as far as how much it cost, you know, stations, I mean, it caused some confusion. They ended up, because the date was originally in February, the ratings companies decided to change their schedule of doing TV ratings, you know, Nielsen's or whatever, and that cost the industry some money and some confusion. The stations who kept broadcasting analog for a period of time, of course, had to keep running analog transmitters, because for a long time, for up to like 6 or 7 years in some markets, stations were required to broadcast both digital and analog. Well, that's running two transmitters, and if you're a high-powered UHF or high-band TV station, channel 7 through 13, that's a lot of money.
Well, put it in a local perspective. People are very familiar with, I don't want to pick on anybody, but Channel 29, I mean, they're the Charlottesville.
And they didn't wait.
Charlottesville grandfather.
Yeah, they did digital transition around here, went off pretty early. I think Richmond's the nearest place maybe Harrisonburg, where they kept it on up until June. They went on ahead and did the transition early around here.
Can we go back to budgeting? Your budget is that you're gonna.
Well, don't think that Channel 29 did not benefit from not having to pay to run that 5 million watts of UHF analog television. that was like selling an awful lot of commercials to not have to be paying that anymore. Digital television transition is a transmission. I'm swapping the words myself now. Is more economical in almost all instances.
But wouldn't any television station looking ahead, because the rule didn't come in place in January and told to do it in
February. No, they had years. Yeah, they had years.
So your budget, your 2008-2009 budget, is based on dumping one of these transmitters mm-hmm. in February. And now you're told, wait a minute, 4 more months, 5 more months. I mean, you weren't required to do that.
You could stop broadcasting analog on the original date if you wanted to.
You could have.
It's just and here they did, but in a lot of places they didn't.
So if you were watching, again, not to pick anybody in particular, but if you're watching Channel 29 with the antenna on your television, on your roof, suddenly, mm-hmm. but you fall into that category of folks who have yet to get your box mm-hmm. or your new TV.
Yeah, then you're not watching it.
Suddenly you're not watching anymore. And
you're watching snow, the noise of the Big Bang. Yes.
All right. 11:38 here on the Wake Up Call.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Did you know it's Campus Fire Safety Month? Two grieving fathers plead with students, parents, and landlords to hear their message about hidden fire dangers in some off-campus housing. Satire returns to The Hook when the Rutabaga takes a look at the trash dumpster near the incomplete Landmark Hotel. And for me, there's another blind date challenge, my personal favorite. It's always fun to read about someone else's blind date. The Hook. A weekly date with Charlottesville news and culture. And let's thank Blue Ridge Graphics for being with us today. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom t-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. And not that you would, but don't go anywhere, because at noon, it's Les Temps Perdue with Drew Thompson, bringing you the best from college alternative underground scenes from the 80s and 90s. You'll hear the early efforts of some of today's biggest acts and cult classics you haven't heard in years. Remember, at least one song heard during the second hour of Les Temps Perdue will be featured on the Plan 9 Pop Quiz the following week. That's Les Temps Perdue at noon, only on WNRN. All right, back in action with WNRN station manager Mike Friend. Mike, everyone wants to hear about indecency, whether you're for it or against it. Everyone wants to hear about indecency. There have been there was a big court decision in 2009. A little feedback or a little background.
Well, I forget the name of the case already, but it's actually sort of has another name, the fleeting expletive case, which involved a round of fine of one of the major television networks for the popular leader of a certain band who's coming to Charlottesville pretty soon, who said the F word on TV in the sense of a fleeting expletive. And it was the FCC's rules against that were upheld, but they were, and I don't want to get people into a law school lesson here, but it was upheld on administrative law grounds and not so much on the merits of the case. And if you read the decision, and I did, it looks like the justices really want this to come back sometime soon to have it ruled on with the merits of the case and not so much the administrative law aspect of it, which was they kind of had to do it that way because of the way the appeals court made their decision. So,
and even then, it's still
5-4. Settled.
Right.
Yeah, it's 5-4. It's still not settled, and we've picked up a number of interesting things. We noticed that since the change in administrations, some of the big city stations that broadcast hip-hop and rap have started to let some things with expletives go through, even like in the daytime. And one wonders, no one can really know, as to whether or not the attorneys for some of the aforementioned big broadcasters have had conversations with lawyers who work for the FCC who have told them that maybe, well, this isn't something we're going to enforce right now. I don't know that that's true, but generally speaking, you would think that these big companies kind of know where they're stepping before they put their foot down. So, you know, I don't know. That's all I can say about that. It's not settled yet. Both of the last two decisions that the FCC made about this have sort of made it very clear, if you read between the lines, that really the Supreme Court justices really would like to spend their time working on something other than dirty words on the radio, that maybe this isn't really important. It is to some people, but they don't think it is.
So dirty words on the radio is one thing.
Right, and we're not talking about obscenity. We're talking about indecency, and that's always something which is a little bit...
We'll explain the difference.
The difference between, if I can explain the difference, it seems like an easy explanation until maybe you get into some of the details of it, but indecency, thus far, the last thing that the court ruled upon was expletives, which was somebody saying, you know, F this, or... You know, using, you know, the S word as, well, that's a bunch of, you know, whatever.
I've said then, asshole on the radio before. Is that okay?
That seems to be okay. Nobody's ever, the FCC's never gone after anybody for the...
I did delete it out of my opening monologue piece because I thought you would be on the studio and might not like it.
Yeah, now that's one that you hear. There's a song by the rock band Bush from the 90s, which has been being played unedited by, you know, thousands of radio stations for over a decade, and I've never heard about any action on that particular word. But the difference between indecency and obscenity, as is defined by the courts, is indecency are expletives, the use of bad words, or indecency references to sexual references, references to sex acts or so forth. Obscenity is what's defined as is pictures, in the case of television, narratives or descriptions of sexual or excretory acts.
So it sounds like just more words.
More words, more detailed.
So saying one word about it is indecency, describing it.
Right. That's one way you could look at it.
I remember that one.
I'm not sure that's hard and fast, okay. But that's probably there are certain words that are not permissible because those words apparently contain too much explanation in and of themselves. Anyway.
All right. Mike Friend is the WNRN radio station manager in the studio with me today, talking about radio and media. current conversation about some recent court decisions on indecency. Feel free to dial up 979-0919. I know it's a beautiful Sunday out there, at least for a holiday weekend. Of course,
not
all Sundays,
raining.
All Sundays are beautiful when it's a holiday weekend and you have the day off. And WNRN Studio, the AOL instant message folks. One of the things that I find most difficult to talk about and define, and even the Supreme Court apparently did, is taking rules that apply to what they call old media, radio, television, and even print media, and associating them and attaching them and applying them to new media, internet. Even Judge Clarence Thomas, whatever you think about his usefulness on the Supreme Court, said this is difficult when you have millions of people watching streamlined internet video every day between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m.
Yeah, I mean, this is a problem that broadcast radio has. I mean, I bought a new car recently from our friends at Price Hyundai, and it came with satellite radio, you know, so I can tune into the, you know, alternative rock channel, and I can hear some of the same music that we play without the words blipped out of it or the words changed in some way. And you know, and the legal difference between these two is one is a subscription service and the other is not, which is why on cable TV you're going to see things, you know, the rebroadcasts on free cable of The Sopranos are not the same episodes that you saw on HBO because one is a subscription service. So that's the difference. If you pay for something, there is no legal precedent really for you being able, whether this is on the internet or whether this is on your cable TV, which is maybe not as old a media as radio is, but it's not new media in the sense that you mean it. You know, that there's, if you're paying for something and, you know, they can't really tell you what you can look at and what you can't look at up to a very high standard.
But I'm not paying
child
for YouTube.
Child pornography would be the one that would come to mind.
I'm not paying for YouTube. It's just there.
Yeah,
and it's
well,
free. And although I've heard various conversations, well, interesting on NPR about what does free mean.
Right.
Now.
I mean, are you paying for your internet connection? You know, is your, well, you know, I mean,
I pay for my phone line.
Okay. So there you go. Maybe you are paying for something. I mean, you know, I don't know is, I guess, is a question. It is something that is very different from we've seen a transition from something which seems like government ought to be able to regulate it in some way, which would be
wanted
over,
or not,
which would be over the air, which people using the public airwaves, and if one person is using them, one outfit is using that somebody else can't. So okay, there's something to be said for regulation. Okay, you move on to the cable, which is not on the air. Nobody's using the, you know, the public domain of the atmosphere to transmit their signals, but it seems like it ought to be regulated in some way. So in order to prevent any FCC, there is no FCC regulation of cable. A lot of people think there is. There isn't. The FCC actually has a way that they could do it because everybody who's a cable programmer uses digital earth stations, so they could apply those same rules, but they don't. They've never done that, and they probably won't. And then you move on to something like the internet, which is different. It's pooled cyberspace. You know, it's a whole new space in a way that's been invented. So what is the FCC, you know, are can they legitimately rule in that area? And I don't think there's been any much court action on that yet. I don't think there's any regulation. The only regulation that's been applied to the internet so far has been some rules that come from the area of intellectual property, and some rules that come from other aspects of law, libel and slander, that sort of thing. But there hasn't been any content regulation of the internet or anything that comes from the internet, like you mentioned YouTube.
WNRN station manager Mike Friend here with us today. 11:50 on the wake-up call. Let me thank Ben Around Tattoos in downtown Waynesboro, They feature male and female tattoo artists, Been Around Tattoos has thousands of designs available, and create work from a design you provide. Piercing also available. Been Around Tattoos in downtown Waynesboro or at 701 West Main Street here in Charlottesville. For more information online, beenaroundtattoos.com. All right, 11:51, just a little bit of time left with Mike Friend. Mike, we were talking about satellite radio, mm-hmm. So let me jump back to the
recession.
Well, the opening part of that, because
the ongoing recession for satellite radio.
But I mentioned the word free.
So we've
mentioned cable, satellite radio. Do you know whether or not these? And I know that satellite radio has its own little inside joke about the fact that it's never really lived up to its potential, or for many, for the company itself, its financial hopes and dreams.
Well, satellite radio has been a financial disaster from day one. I personally enjoy listening to it. I don't know whether I'll continue to do that after my free subscription runs out from from the purchase of a new car. But it's there. I probably would like it a lot better if I lived in the middle of Montana somewhere, and all my choices on radio at any given time would be, Rush Limbaugh and a country station from 50 miles away. So, I don't know. I'd probably like it a lot better then. But the problem is the business model that exists for satellite radio. Satellite radio has been possible for a long time. They were talking about satellite radio in the 70s and the 80s. I mean, it could have been done with analog technology like Primestar satellite TV that a lot of people had for years and years. There was nothing digital about that. That was completely analog. And you could have done satellite radio that way too. But the chief market for it was always considered to be travelers, people on the highway, rural areas, and that just wasn't something that would work for Wall Street. So somebody had to dream up a business plan that would include you selling these things at Circuit City and Best Buy, and you'd be able to go out and buy them, and a certain fraction of the American people, most of whom do not live in rural Montana or Arkansas, would go out and buy these things. Well, The problem with that is running such a thing is extremely expensive. It's $500 million, $500 million to launch satellites. By the way, both of the company's satellites are approaching the end of their life, and they need to find money to shoot new satellites up there, or they're really going to be in trouble. and the whole business model, it was just based on there having to be many more people listening to this than the natural market, which, again, was assumed back in the 70s and 80s for satellite radio would be rural areas and people who travel a lot.
Is the number of listeners increasing? I mean, do you know?
No, actually, it's not. The churn rate is what we're talking about. Is the new people versus old people. But one of the reasons why it's gone down is because the figures that you have heard about the increasing number of satellite radio listeners was primarily due to the number of them that they were putting in new cars. Well, we were talking earlier about how many new cars are being sold right now.
I got that too, and I don't think I've listened to it five times in
right.
3 months.
Right. So there you go. There are no new cars being sold, and people are not showing up at Crutchfield and Best Buy to really buy the things in large numbers. Some people certainly do, and a lot of businesses are using because there's so much borrowed money, and the whole thing was priced out as a loss leader. I remember before the merger, that's probably something else we ought to mention briefly, is the merger between Sirius and XM, which was vehemently opposed by a lot of people because now there's not even any competition. You just have one satellite radio monopoly, and they claim they had to do that or they would both go under because they were in such bad shape. So they merged, and now they're still in bad shape and are probably going to go under. But that's just a result of a faulty business model. They said that they were going to be able to, they had to reach a certain number of the population, and they tried to do that with loss leader pricing. That is, pricing the service so low. And XM made a big deal in the radio press when the price of servicing one of their $9.99 accounts, let's say you were paying for it, you were paying your $10 a month, and when their costs went under $100 for servicing each one of those accounts, they were popping the champagne corks. Well, that's an interesting business. It costs you $100 to service an account that is paying you $10. You don't stay in business that way for
socialism,
very long.
Socialism. Nazis. Yeah.
Well, no, it's capitalism, actually. It's you keep shoveling in the credit. You keep going out. It's something like a Ponzi scheme, really. You know, you keep going out and finding new investors who believe that, well, this really is going to turn around someday. It's just around the corner. You know, just give us some more money. And even through this recession, they've apparently still been able to do that. They're still on the air. I listened to them last night. It's still there. And they got not DirecTV, but the man who owns DirecTV to shovel in a whole bunch of his own money back, I think, in like May or June to save them because they had some big balloon payment coming up in July, and they were thinking that might be it, but they got some money, so they're still there.
All right, 11:56 on the wake-up call. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS-FM Sweetbriar Amherst-Lynchburg. Mike Friend, station manager here at WNRN with us today. Hey, a caller from Richmond wants to know, what's the difference between high power and low power FM, and how does this affect emergency broadcasts?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Well, there's a I assume he's referring to a class of radio stations that the FCC created, which is called LPFM, low power FM. And they, I think this was about 6 or 7 years ago when they finally authorized this, was God, we could talk for a whole hour about low-power FM.
Well, but, you got 3 minutes.
Yeah, but we have 3 minutes. With respect to emergency broadcasting, to just to keep to the caller's question, the FCC has this system, and you hear it on WNRN from time to time and all other broadcast radio stations. This is a thing called the EAS system, and you have to have a piece of equipment, and it makes that horrendous digital noise in your radio, and then an announcer comes on after and tells you whether, you know, you're going to...
Oh, the one where it says tornadoes are in the area?
Yeah, right, which is either this is a required test or either that or, you know, there's a tornado coming, kiss your ass goodbye, you know, so one or the other. Now, LPFM stations are required to, and as a matter of fact, It's sort of a mandatory thing. It's either, you know, you go off the air during these emergencies or you have this piece of equipment and can participate in the network. And for LPFMs, they are required to participate in the system, or like any other station that didn't have them, they would have to go off the air during an emergency. So they do have them. There's two or three LPFMs in the WNRN coverage area. If the caller from Richmond's probably referring to WRIR FM down there, WRIR LP, because the dash LP actually are part of the call letters if you're a low-power FM. And they're required to have the emergency broadcasting stuff, and to my knowledge, they are in compliance on that score.
All right, 30 seconds. Next step for NRN, are we going to put up a new tower somewhere and go beyond the Richmond Amherst area?
We're always looking. We're always the next project, which we know we're going to do, is and we've talked about this on the air before, specifically during fund drives, to get people in Lynchburg to call us up because this is going to be expensive. Lynchburg is 89.9 is moving to 89.5 sometime within the before the construction permit runs out, because we don't have congressional friends in Washington who can let us build it, you know, a month or a year after the construction permit expires, which is going to be in about two years and a couple of months. We're moving 89.9 to 89.5 and drastically increasing its power. That'll cover some new areas. And we're always talking to people about, you know, one never knows who's going to have a translator or repeater for sale somewhere. And if that happens, we might be interested if we have the money.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Friend. Enjoy your Labor Day.
Another 2 years, we'll do this again.
Next week, we'll be talking about literacy and how it affects not just the individuals who might be somewhat illiterate, but also the businesses and the folks here in town. Drew Thompson up next with Les Thames Purdue.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.